it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a WIP afternoon show. We like Spike and Fritz, 2:30 Tupac, of course. It's the Red October Rally. We're at Stateside Live in South Philly at the Sports Complex.
Hopefully more dying in L.A., huh?
Get it?
Got him.
Got him.
Got him.
Got him.
God, I want to beat this team's ass so bad.
Oh, it would be so nice.
Oh, my God. I'm
send them
sick
home
of them.
With their billions of dollars.
Yeah, you stupid hedge fund.
Yeah. Well, we know the only reason Ohtani is still playing Major League Baseball is because Major League Baseball protected Ohtani. We know he broke the rules. We know he gambled.
Where's your bookie? Come on,
dot.
Man.
Tomorrow, by the way, at Stateside Live, first 2015 guests get a free Stateside vodka cocktail starting at 2 p.m. in honor of Stateside being founded right here in Philly in 2015. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. The Bedlam of October is back. Shop world-class diamonds to make her feel like a world champion every day at Mark's. Online at marks-jewelers.com. As the series gets closer, which are you feeling more, confident or nervous? Ike, guess where the poll is at.
I would hope more confident. I don't know how much more than nervous it would be. I maybe slightly, let's go 54% is more confident.
It's 53% nervous.
Wow.
I need to get people back here. I need to get people. We don't need a tight Citizens Bank Park to start tomorrow.
Well, the message for that is don't freak out early. Because I feel like last
year, they're going to freak out early.
Yeah, but like you got to have patience. The main thing is not hitting Ohtani tomorrow. The main thing is getting Ohtani out of the game as quick as possible.
Yes. Yeah.
The main thing is Sanchez holding down this Dodgers lineup.
Like this is just 5 minutes. You got to prepare yourself for
six innings. Yes.
2-1 games, 3-2 games. Like it's not going to going to be an offensive showing.
Yeah.
But I know why it's going to be a tight ballpark, but leave the tightness for the 7th and 8th. You know what I mean? Early.
I agree.
We still got to be on Ohtani.
Yeah,
I need tomorrow night to be like what's happened to Sabathia in 08 and Strider in 22. Like it's got to be like an all-time get Ohtani rattled. He's never pitched in a playoff game. I know he's the greatest player we've ever seen, but like he's never done this in the major leagues. He's never, when he was with the Angels, they didn't make the playoffs, and obviously last year he couldn't pitch.
Well, his biggest moment on the mound is the World Baseball Classic where he closed it out against Trout.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's two things going for him. First of all, it's his first playoff game. Who knows how much money he has on the game as well?
Sure. A lot, I'm sure.
Yeah. So before we get back to the phones, we do have an Eagles game on Sunday as well. And we were talking on the show yesterday about this very thing. And the closer we get to the game, the more I think that it's true. And the reason I think so is because I have no feel on the game whatsoever. Now, part of that is that we're facing an opponent that I don't watch a lot of the Denver Broncos. I don't think about the Denver Broncos that often.
Well, that's not true.
But normally, Bo Nix, I love in general. But you know what I'm saying. It's not a team. They're 2-2. They've played some good games. They've played some close games. But it's not the reason that I don't have a feel for the game is not because of the Broncos. It's because of the Eagles. And I keep going back to this, is that this game, not just because of the AJ thing, take the AJ tweet stuff out of it because I don't ever want to talk about it again. Just the offense in general and the defense in general, trying to figure out which way it's actually going to trend. Because we can say over and over and over again, they just need time. You know, the offense needs time to click with each other, new offensive coordinator. We can say over and over and over again that the offensive line, you know, they're one block away. But at a certain point, we're going to be a third of the way through the season, and they're just going to kind of are who they are. And if they are who they are again, if they're the team that we have seen, the inconsistent team that we've seen all season long on Sunday, especially offensively, I think that everything has a chance to unravel a little bit. And if we see a team that is cohesive, that moves the ball regularly, that everything, again, put the AJ thing to the side for a moment, just about how they're moving the ball, I think the season could really start to feel like a special type season, which it doesn't feel like to me so far. So I don't know which way it's going to go. All I know is that this game on Sunday feels like a very, very important game for the Eagles. And by the way, I forget who mentioned it yesterday. Oh, it was Shiel. you know, every time that there is over certainly in last year, when there's been when there was controversy leading up to the game, the Eagles played a big game. It was going into the Giants game after the Cleveland game, after the bye, right? They went in there. They played a real good game. We had the "Is that what y'all wanted to see?" game going into the Pittsburgh game. I just don't know which Eagles we're going to get, and I think which Eagles we're going to get on Sunday could be the Eagles that we get for the rest of the year.
Well, listen, there's a lot of football left to be played, and you know, this team, for whatever reason, is sort of off to another slow start. Takes them a while to sort of shape and form who they truly want to be as a football team, to where you can say this is what you're going to get every week. I'll say this. I'll give them through Sunday and Thursday. They got six games. Figure this thing out. No matter what they do, worst case scenario is 4-2, and we're upset for the next 10 days after next Thursday night. But if they are 5-1, think about it. They're still 5-1 through six games. That's why when you win football games, no matter what, it's so important, because you're banking W's that you don't have to give back. That there are going to be teams that started off 2-2, 1-3, they get hot, that they're going to wish they had a 4-0 start when they don't make the playoffs like the Bengals did last year.
Yeah, I think it buys them time.
Of course it does.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course it does. That's the benefit of winning games when you're not even playing well, is you have so much more time to figure it out. If it was the end of the year, if we're in the 13th week, 14th week, that's different, because you're saying, you know what? You don't have enough time to change who you are going into the playoffs. But they got 13 games left? They got 13 football games left, plus a bye week, two 10-day stints in there where they play Thursday night games. It's a lot of time for them to get this thing figured out. It doesn't look pretty right now, but there's still a lot of time. They've earned that. 2-2 last year, and everybody was going crazy. They went on the run that they did. All I'm saying is that they've earned the benefit of the doubt and waiting when you have this much time left to go. So Sunday, I'll see what happens Sunday. And, hey, I'll tell you what. Because they are 4-0, if they lost Sunday, I don't know how bad of a thing that would be.
Yeah.
I would just go ahead and say, I don't ever want to give games away. But if it takes, AJ said it the other day, right? He said, you want to get it fixed now while you're winning versus having to do it when you lose a game.
Yep.
Because that's when you're really going to have to see it. I'm paraphrasing what he said, but he's basically saying, get it done now while you can, because once we lose a game, then you're not going to have a choice.
Yeah, he said learn from winning rather than learning from losing.
And maybe that's what this is going to take for this team.
You did, to lose a game.
Yeah, to lose a game.
And then, this is the time to figure it out, right? It's this month. Look, I think the Broncos are pretty good, but after this, the Giants twice and the Vikings.
And the Vikings, yeah.
Like, if you go back to last year, October is when they figured it out. They played bad teams, and they started picking it up. But they needed to, because November came around, and they played the Commanders, they played the Rams, the Ravens. It's kind of the same thing this year. That November schedule has the Lions and Packers.
Yeah.
They need those games. Like, those are going to be the games that decide if they're going to be the one
seed. And that's not even getting into December, where you got Chargers, you got Buffalo,
Commanders
so twice.
This next
still
month,
got Dallas again.
Yeah. Like, I think they should win three out of the next four games, even if they are still figuring it out. These teams are not good.
Yeah.
Except the Broncos might be good. But, like, this is the time. I kind of agree with you, Spike. We're going to find out, is this going to start turning? Because last October started to turn the right direction, and they were ready for November and December. Or are we just going to keep plodding along here?
Well,
you know, the way they've been.
And the one thing that we've talked about a lot, but hasn't been a headline, but it affects two of the things we talk about a lot. We've talked about the passing game, we've talked about the running game, right? But the one thing that is central to both of those things is the offensive line. And we've always taken for granted the last couple of years that our offensive line is great. One of the best last year, the best offensive line in football. And we came into this year, okay, we lose Becton, but everybody else we're super confident in. We just assume they're going to be one of the best offensive lines in football. Well, I can tell you so far, they're not one of the best offensive lines in football.
Yeah.
You can see it from the run production. And when we're talking to Mike Mayock yesterday, and we're asking why the sack rate is going up, he said pass protection has not been good. So that is one thing. That's not a scheme thing.
Yeah.
You know, that is how well they're playing. It's Landon Dickerson, how healthy he is. It's Tyler Steen, how good he even is. And I think it was Jordan who said it. You know, Saquon had a lot of reps in him last year because of the running game. You know who else had to do a lot of work in that running game?
It's
the offensive line. Yeah. They played a lot of football games last year. They didn't have a bye last year, you know. So I don't know what the offensive line is going to be for the rest of the season. And they need to start. They can't just be one block away every single week. You know, eventually they have to start getting those blocks. 215-592-9494. We're at the Red October Rally. John Middleton will join us at 3 o'clock. Nick Kostos joins us around 2:42 to give us your picks for the weekend. Corey in Columbus, you're on WIP. What's up, Corey?
Hey, man, Spike, glad to have you back, man. Yesterday you had me worried. You had them, you know, them STDs. I'm scared to death out there, you know. I'm glad you back
I'm
on
back.
The side.
Yes,
but
I'm
look,
back.
I love all the analysis out there, but me, I'm a fan. You know, this weekend, we about to eat 2 W's. You know what I'm saying? Like I told y'all yesterday. Also, real quick, for the next week, I'm like, I get a request, you know, for the show, we might have to chill out on that 232 pot. You know what I'm saying? Them L.A. cats coming to Philadelphia, you know, the concrete jungle where we do our thing. We might want to chill out on giving them some L.A. views. You know what I'm saying? Like, put some freeway in there. Put some, you know, we got to chill.
It's a bit.
Yeah.
You know
I
saying?
Don't know.
He does have East Coast music too.
Yeah, we should just use some of the
Jack doesn't know the difference.
Yeah, I can't. Is there actually a difference?
Yes.
How?
There's a difference.
Of course, there's a difference.
What's the difference?
We ain't got time to talk about
the
it.
The sound.
Right now.
Yeah. We getting all plot Corey down for a second. What is like?
The sound. You don't know the difference from the East Coast.
What's an example of one of his most popular East Coast songs?
California Love.
That's an East Coast song?
No, I thought you said West Coast.
No,
I'm sorry.
No.
East Coast?
Yeah.
Well, most of it's
the first two albums.
Yeah, it's his early albums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll look into it. We'll break it down.
Listen to, what's the last song on the second record? The one with Tretch on it. It is Five Deadly Venoms. That's a East Coast
that's
song.
East Coast.
Yeah. Listen to the second album.
The producers on his early albums were East Coast, mostly East Coast guys.
Yeah.
And then he started doing more West Coast stuff.
All right, I'll figure it out.
This reminds me earlier when Jack was on with us and Hugh was talking
about
a movie
Coast.
That Jack had no idea about.
You ever hear of the movie?
He started with Digital Underground, so that's starting with the West Coast.
You ever the movie Candyman?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, never heard of it.
Oh, okay.
I'd never seen it.
Yeah, you mean Candyman, the horror movie?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. I had no idea what it was.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, Corey. You can go ahead.
Yeah, you good. You know, because sometimes you got to educate him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
know, a lot of work to do.
Us Candyman is like his Beetlejuice. You know what I'm saying? He don't, you know, say three times. You know what I'm saying? Hey, but look, anyways, like, I'm not worried about no Dodgers. Listen. The Dodgers, they a pretty team. I told y'all yesterday, we the gritty team, and I get it. You know what I'm saying? They got the best player in baseball, Otani. They got Yanomomo. They got Blake Snell. They got all these deep pockets. Hey, when they play the Phillies, Joe Gillio, the baseball guy, what's they record versus the Phillies?
2-4 this season. 2-4.
That's all I know. You know what I'm saying? And when you got to play the game on the field, you got to come to Citizens Bank Park to go against the fighting field. Bryce Harper in the crew, the Ohio legend, and Trey Turner in their crew. You know what I'm saying? Nick Castellanos will have a big game for us tomorrow. You know, he's tired of being disrespected.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now listen, you get disrespected because your game ain't been showing up, but he gonna show up in this series. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to do it, but like I said, I'm not an analyst. I'm a fan, baby. You about to sweep these boys. Get out the brooms.
Get the brooms out.
Get them out. You know what I'm saying? Get them out. I ain't afraid. Y'all need to get that nervousness out of you. I told y'all, drop them STDs and get them out of your system.
I don't know if we can do the STD thing.
Hey, man, we about to put some puts in Dodgers. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, we the gritty team. And
all right,
on
Corey.
On Sunday,
yeah.
We eat a W. Go Birds, baby.
All right, go Birds. Kid, let me tell you, they sweep the Dodgers. This city's going to be melting down.
Oh, we will be planning the parade route before the NLCS starts.
We will be the chestiest we've ever been if they sweep the Dodgers.
Let's not get ahead of us.
I'm just wondering.
Four. Make it four.
I'm wondering about the effect of Saturday night. and the game impacting Sunday.
Sunday's crowd?
1 o'clock game.
And then what about the crowd Monday?
Like, no, I think people could get back up.
Well,
for
I'm saying exactly. Yeah.
Sunday's going to be a quiet
Sunday
crowd.
Sunday will be a quiet day to where everybody's recharging the battery, getting ready for Monday.
Well, maybe the passing game will get everyone fired up on Sunday.
See, that's what I'm worried about Sunday. Do we come out as a sleepy crowd and the team just isn't in it? It's one of these lethargic games.
Well, you said we need a loss anyway. So.
No, you said acceptable loss, I believe.
Yeah, that's the headline I see.
Good loss. Wouldn't be a bad thing if they lost.
I did say that. I didn't say acceptable, though.
Well, you said I hope they lose. No. All right. You know, so Joe Giglio always has a lot of predictions.
Yes. Finally, we're doing this.
He did make 25 bold.
No, I did keep myself accountable on this yesterday.
Why don't you just relax?
I did.
Are you trying to get in front of this?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Well, I haven't heard it. What's
so Joe Giglio made 25 bold predictions for the 2025 Philadelphia Phillies. Now, to preface this, they are bold predictions. So, you know, he has to sort of shoot. You know,
sounds clickbaity to me.
Well, you know, okay. So the first one is, let's go through them. The Trey Turner leadoff experiment won't work.
That's an L. That's an L.
That's big old swing and a miss.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So that's 0-for-1. Mm-hmm. The second one, Kyle Schwarber will lead the National League in home runs, slugging 46 in the final year of his contract.
All right.
Sold him a little short, but he led the league in
that's
home
still
runs.
Still good enough.
Yeah, no. Good job.
Yeah, that's a good one. 1-for-2. Number three, Bryce Harper will finish 6th in NL MVP voting.
No. Nope.
That's a tough one.
Nope.
Yeah.
Not this year. Yeah.
Two top five guys, probably, but not Bryce Harper.
Yeah, not Bryce Harper. Zach Wheeler, 3rd, and Christopher Sanchez, 5th, will each finish top five in NL Cy Young voting.
Okay.
Pretty right about that.
Yeah. It would have been flipped, though.
Yeah.
Yes, but we would have had, both guys.
Yeah. They might have finished 2-3.
Yeah.
I think so. We don't know, you know, who would have finished 2-3, but I think they're the second and third best pitcher in baseball in the National League this year when Zach Wheeler was
healthy.
That's
a good one.
And okay.
Aaron Nola's strikeout rate and strikeout to walk ratio will continue to decline as innings pile up on his right arm. While not quite sound the alarms on his long-term contract, the righty will fully settle in as a mid-rotation guy.
Sound the alarms!
I should have been harsher. He stunk.
Yeah. I think...
He went through some tough times.
Yeah, he did. That's game three starter, Aaron.
He should not be the game three starter.
He should be the game three starter.
You want him on the mound?
Of course I do.
Well, he's a big Nola guy.
Six.
I'm going to give Giglio credit for number five because he was saying Aaron Nola would get worse, which he did.
Yes, he did.
So, yeah. Number six, Max Kepler will start out hot, eliciting 2009 Raul Ibanez comparison.
Ooh, that was wrong.
No, that was a miss. Yeah.
26 home runs before the All-Star break?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nope. Yeah. We will get to more of these later on. Joining us now, our guy, Nick Kostos. The Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, host of You Better You Bet, Insider Calls presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check out the latest lines on the BetMGM app. Of course, you can listen to You Better You Bet weekdays, You Better You Bet countdown to kickoff Sundays 11-1, leading you up to kickoff on the BetMGM network on the Odyssey app. Kostos, thank you for joining us again.
What's going on, guys? Great to be on with you. Ahead of what I believe will be another Philadelphia Eagles win this weekend and hopefully put some more money in my pocket.
Yeah, you love betting the Eagles. You had them covering last week, which they did. Cover Eagles cover? Win Eagles win, cover Eagles cover? Isn't that your motto?
No, fly Eagles fly, win Eagles win, cover Eagles cover. Yes, exactly.
There you go.
And then pay me, Eagles.
So, and by the way, we'll get to baseball in a second because you had a prediction there as well. But So Eagles are 3.5-point favorites at home against Denver. Line a little less than I thought it would be. Didn't you think this would be a little bit higher? 3.5 seems a little cheaper than I expected.
Well, I think what we're seeing here, Spike, and I'm going to throw something out there, and it's not apples to apples, the comparison that I'm going to make. But the take that I'm working on right now, I think the 2025 Philadelphia Eagles are the 2024 Kansas City Chiefs. Now hear me out on what does not mean I think they're going to lose in the Super Bowl. That's not what I mean. But Kansas City last year, they won all those games, obviously 15-1 in regular season games that they actually tried to win, right? But like, didn't look great in victory. People complained after the wins. It was like the Jesse Pinkman Breaking Bad meme, like they can't keep getting away with this. and yet they won every game. And I think we're going to see something similar from the Eagles this year, where it's not always going to look great. Jalen Hurts isn't always going to throw for 300 yards, and A.J. Brown isn't always going to have 150 and two touchdowns, and Saquon might not have the explosive touchdown runs that he had last year. But at the end of the game, like, they're going to be ahead on the scoreboard. So as far as this game is concerned, like, yes, you're right, the number feels a little low. Eagles 3.5 at home. But, I mean, I think you're going to start seeing people bet against the Eagles when they're a big favorite for this reason. Can they pull ahead, and can they cover big numbers? And as far as I'm concerned with this game, if I had to bet it, I would bet Philadelphia. You put Quinyon Mitchell on Cortland Sutton, you take Cortland Sutton almost entirely out of the game. I think Quinyon Mitchell might be the best cornerback in football right now. He's unbelievable. The Gene's obviously great as well. And if you're out there listening and you think the Eagles aren't any good and Kevin Petullo is Italian Brian Johnson, don't even worry about laying the points. Just put the Eagles as a money line parlay piece with something else that you like. Maybe the Arizona Cardinals this weekend against the Tennessee Titans. I don't know if the Eagles are going to cover. I think they will. But I know that the Eagles are going to win on Sunday because that's what they do.
And I know you weren't making an apples-to-apples comparison with the Eagles and the Chiefs. I understand that. The big difference, though, is you could understand why the Chiefs didn't have a high-level offense last year when you looked at the personnel. Just the amount of weapons that Mahomes had. The difference with this Eagles team is that part doesn't make sense. And I think that is what is a little harder to resolve for people.
What I would say is when it matters. So second half against the Rams, when you have to go pedal to metal, they have shown the ability that they can do that. My opinion, and I'm not in the coaching meetings, right? My opinion is they know that they can win games as long as they don't turn the football over. Like, they literally have not lost a game since they signed Saquon Barkley, where Hurts, Saquon, Devontae Smith, and A.J. Brown all play. They've won every single game. So why are they going to mess around and start chucking the football all over the place and maybe turn the football over? It's like the only way they can lose. If they play clean football games, their players are better than everybody else's players, and they're just going to win. So, like, I understand that point, but we already have a data point this year where they fall behind and they've got to throw to get back into the game, and they did it against the Rams, and they won that game against the Rams. So I understand where you're coming from, but I don't totally agree.
All right. What else do you another game or two you really like this weekend? Anything on the board?
Yeah, well always. Let's see.
Who are you kidding?
All right. Let's start with the Jets-Cowboys game Sunday at MetLife Stadium. So we're awaiting, guys, Dallas's final injury report. Yesterday, the Cowboys were without four of their five starting offensive linemen, one of whom is on injured reserve, center Cooper Beebe. They have three Tylers on their offensive line. Seriously, three offensive linemen with the first name Tyler. All first-round picks, and none of them practiced yesterday. And their defense is absolutely terrible, and I actually like what I saw from the Jets' offense on Monday night against Miami, despite the turnovers. I'll take the Jets plus the points, and I do think the Jets are going to win against Dallas on Sunday. And then Sunday Night Football, I love the Patriots this season. I had them last week against Carolina. I gave them out on this show. I love Drake May. I think he's an absolute star. Started from the bottom, now he's here. I think this is a tough test for him going into Buffalo on Sunday Night Football. I think the Bills name their score in this game. I'll lay the 8 with Buffalo on Sunday night against the Patriots.
And give us a prop. I know you love props. You got a prop there you love?
Yeah, let's go to the Sunday night game. Stephon Diggs, last I looked, was 45.5 receiving yards. So he's coming off a torn ACL and also, you know, like Cardi B's baby daddy, God bless him. So it took him a little bit to kind of round into form this season. He played, so if you look at his snap counts, and like I love this stuff because I bet props and I love fantasy football. So the snap counts are skewed for Diggs because the Patriots were up by so many points in the fourth quarter last week that he didn't play in the fourth quarter, basically. But when the game was competitive, he was playing on basically 100% of the snaps. And he's their best wide receiver, and he's now the primary slot receiver. I think they're going to be chasing the game on Sunday night in Buffalo. They're going to have to throw. Give me Stephon Diggs over 45.5 receiving yards on Sunday night.
All right, Costos. Now, before we always talk, you know, football with you, but before the baseball playoffs started, you said you thought we were going to get a rematch of the 09 World Series. We would get Yankees and Phillies. Yankees take care of business against the Red Sox. By the way,
thank God.
A performance from Schlittler last night was absolutely unreal. I mean, that was what a performance from him.
Don't sound so excited.
I felt like
Costanza when he gets the massage from the male masseuse. That's how I felt.
So now the Phillies have to take care of the Dodgers. You still think the Phillies in the National League?
Well. Okay, so the Yankee fan in me wants to think that the Yankees are going to win the World Series. I do think the Yankees will win the American League pennant. And I felt like if they were going to beat the Red Sox, that was going to be the direction that things were going to go in. So I do think the Yankees will win the pennant again. I don't want to back off my Phillies opinion. What I will say is this. I think the winner of this series is going to win the World Series, like Phillies and Dodgers. Now, the Dodgers are a small favorite in the series. Dodgers -120, Phils +100. And look, your audience knows this, and you guys are so dialed into the Phillies. Mike, what I'm watching for in the series is, can the Phillies get to the Dodgers non-starters in the bullpen? Meaning, like, not Roky Sasaki, who's ridiculous, right? Not Clayton Kershaw, who I think you'll see in relief in the series. Not Tyler Glasnow starting, coming in as a reliever. Can they get to the actual bad relief pitchers? Because if they do, I think the Phillies will win the series. And if that happens, they will be the favorites to win the World Series. And I think they'll take care of the Cubs or the Brewers in the NLCS. And look, I'll be rooting for my Yankees, obviously, if and when they get there. But I will acknowledge that if they do, and it's Yankees, Phils, or Yankees, Dodgers, that the NL representative will be more likely to win than my favorite team.
Well, and if it is Yankees, Phillies, we're going to have to fight you versus the three of us.
Yeah, that sounds great. And honestly, my thought is Hideki Matsui should throw out the first pitch before game one.
Very funny. Very funny. I appreciate it.
All right, Costos.
What, Derek Jeter? Johnny Damon? What do you think?
Johnny Damon got one open bag because he forgot to cover it. Take it down. Maybe get the stupid camera hanging over the right field wall, too. It could throw out a first pitch.
Johnny Damon hit 360 in that World Series against
the Phillies,
care. Buddy.
Where's Mark? Bring the little lefty Marte. He's more of a threat.
At the Maso Marte reference. I love it. Listen, Yankees have the best pitcher in that series with Cam Schlittler, so I think
All right. Okay. All right.
Man.
Yeah.
You guys are going to be up the creek, man, against the Yankees.
All right, Costos. Thank you, brother.
You got it. Wishing everybody minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. I will see you and all the Philadelphia Phillies in the World Series.
All right. Thank you, Costos. There he is, the host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider Call is presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary for all your betting and sports talk needs. Check out the BetMGM network on the Odyssey app. All right, there are Costos' picks. Gilio, thank you for sitting in the 2 o'clock hour.
Is it time for me to give the seat up to John Middleton?
Little bigger.
Yes.
He's got it. I'll give it up.
Sorry. So joining us next, Phillies managing partner and principal owner John Middleton is here at Stateside Live for the Red October Rally. We will talk to John next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.